Good morning, everybody.
Good morning. Good morning.
This meeting is being recorded. Dr. King, after you call the meeting to order, we'll do a roll call of board members and staff.
All right. Let's call the meeting to order at 8:30 a.m.
It is Tuesday, July 26th, 2022. Dr. King?
Present.
Dr. Bastillo?
Present.
Mr. Leone?
Present.
Dr. Cornwall?
Present.
Mr. Greer?
Present.
Mr. Barton? I'll check Mr. Barton again after staff. Ms. Cardoza?
Present.
Ms. Crowley?
Here.
Ms. Richardson?
Present.
And my name is Judy Chepius. Mr. Barton? Let the record show Mr. Barton is absent. Dr. King, the meeting is yours.
Thank you. The first item on the agenda for us to do is to review, consider approving and taking action on the minutes from our regular session from July 28th, 2022. Were there any corrections or things that needed to be amended?
Did you mean June?
That's what I meant. June 28th, 2022.
You scared me.
I should remember that. My daughter's birthday. You'd think I'd remember that date. Okay. June 28th, 2022, regular session meetings.
I move that we accept the minutes for the June 28th, 2022 meeting as printed.
Second.
Okay. Thank you. We'll call the vote.
It's been moved and seconded to approve the June 28, 2022 regular session meeting minutes. Dr. King?
Yes.
Dr. Bastillo?
Yes.
Mr. Leone?
Yes.
Dr. Cornwall?
Yes.
Mr. Greer? Mr. Greer, you're muted.
Yes.
Thank you. Motion passes.
Thank you. Agenda item number four, applications for licensure and certification. Let the record know we don't have anything to consider under 4A or 4B. 4C, we have an agenda item to review, consider, possible take action on physical therapist applicants who graduated from a foreign education program, not U.S. accredited. One, John Fagan.
Actually, this one is U.S. accredited. Kelly, he is accredited college, and he is also presenting, hoping to be approved for his supervised clinical practice facility. And you will also see him again in agenda item 5A4 as well later on.
Okay, great. Thank you. Thank you. So let's take the agenda item C1 first. Are there any discussions or concerns about his application to take the NPTE AZ Laws exam?
Excuse me, Kelly, if you'll allow me to clarify this. Veronica, correct me if I'm wrong, please. He's already taken the exam. The reason he is listed on C1 is with respect to requiring a supervised clinical practice period. He's never worked in the U.S. healthcare, is what I'm understanding. And then he's also on C2 because he has submitted a facility and supervising therapists for review.
Correct.
Okay. So it just looks interesting on the agenda. So what we need to do then is approve the supervised clinical practice period and then approve or potentially approve the place that he'd like to do his practice with the supervised clinical instructor?
Right. You need to require the supervised clinical practice period and then approve if it meets your specifications, approve the facility and the supervising PT.
Okay. All right. Well, I move that we approve his application for supervised clinical practice.
Second.
Any discussion? Okay, let's call the vote.
It's been moved and seconded to require a supervised clinical practice period for Mr. John Fagan. Dr. King?
Yes.
Dr. Basile?
Yes.
Mr. Leone?
Yes.
Dr. Cornwell?
Yes.
Mr. Greer?
Yes.
Motion passes.
Okay. And then agenda item C2, he has submitted documents for the supervising therapists who will be overseeing his supervised clinical practice period. Did everyone get a chance to review their credentials and approve that site and that person? Or there's actually two.
It's two, primary and secondary.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so then
I wasn't sure. Was it added that he's passed his national but not his AZ law? He still has yet to take that, so he could be approved to take that as well.
Okay, so Mr. Harris?
Because he can't supervise clinical practice without passing his AZ law.
Okay, so Mr. Harris, so in 4C1, they just voted to require the supervised clinical practice period. Should we add a second vote to that to allow him to sit for the AZ law exam? Or is because that's listed in the agenda item itself and that motion passed under that agenda item, is it sufficient to indicate that he was approved then to complete with the AZ law if they're approving the supervised clinical practice, if they're requiring the supervised clinical practice period?
Judy, members of the board, it appears though that it was only agendized for approving the supervisor.
Yes, back on 4C1.
And so for 4C1,
that's requiring the supervised clinical practice period and passing the exams. So he apparently passed the NPTE, but not the AZ law. Veronica, is that correct?
Correct.
Okay.
Does he need to pass the AZ law before he can begin his clinical practice?
He does. And the reason why we couldn't approve him for that was due to the agenda item A5A4. Because he's on there again.
Oh, I see. I think what we can do is just make a contingent upon his successfully completing his AZ law.
Thank you.
Yes, and four will, or if he's approved in the consent agenda, that's part of that as well, passing the exams, successful passage.
Yes, and.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. I think we're covered then. If you agree with me, Mr. Harris.
I think so. Yes, as long as everything goes smoothly with agenda item 5A4.
Right. Right.
Right. Okay.
That's what it makes. Thank you.
Okay. So then we were at discussion and possible motion for approving his clinical practice facility and the two supervisors.
Right. Yes.
Okay. I move that we approve his clinical practice facility as well as the two individuals he's identified as his supervisors.
Second.
Who did the second?
I did. Giovanni.
Thank you. Okay. Any discussion? Okay. Let's call the vote.
It has been moved and seconded to approve the supervised clinical practice period facility and supervising therapists proposed by Mr. Fagan. Dr. King?
Yes.
Dr. Basile?
Yes.
Mr. Leone?
Yes.
Dr. Cornwell?
Yes.
Mr. Greer?
Yes.
Motion passes.
Thank you.
Okay, so that then takes us to agenda item 5, the consent agenda. We have a few under 5A, 5E, nothing under 5C, and nothing under 5D. Is there any particular case or person that any of you would like to pull out of the consent agenda to discuss further? Okay, are you comfortable with a motion to approve the consent agenda? Do I have a motion?
I move that we approve the consent agenda for all individuals.
Second.
Okay. Any discussion? Okay, then let's call a vote.
It has been moved and seconded to approve consent agenda items represented in agenda item 5. Dr. King?
Yes.
Dr. Bastillo?
Yes.
Mr. Leone?
Yes.
Mr. Greer?
Yes.
Motion passes.
Thank you.
Judy, I believe Mr. Barton has joined the meeting.
I did see that as well. Let the record show that Mr. Barton has joined the meeting at 8:41 a.m.
Mr. Barton, can you confirm you're present?
You're muted.
I am here. Thank you. I apologize for the late arrival.
Okay, good. It's good to see you. Thank you for being here. Okay, so we are at agenda item 6 for administrative hearings, and let the record show there are none. We do have an informal hearing, but it's not scheduled till 9:30, so we'll reorder the agenda a little bit to make sure that our 9:30 time is meets the expectation of the licensee. So are you guys okay if we reorder the agenda and go to 9, complaints and other disciplinary matters?
Yep.
Okay. Mindy, are you good at that?
I'm prepared, yes.
Thank you. Okay, so the first item on our agenda actually for 9 is 9A, and it's a preliminary hearing, so it's a little bit different than an initial review. So, Mindy, I'm going to have you bring us up to speed on agenda item 9A, 2228.
Excuse me, Dr. King, aren't we... I think we're supposed to wait on 9A until immediately before the 9:30 hearing.
Oh, okay.
Okay. That was my understanding as well.
Okay. All right, so then let's go to 9B.
Okay. This is an initial review for case number 2121, Jennifer Orr, physical therapist. And Dr. King, do you want to do the... briefing or a script for the initial reviews before I do the actual summary of this case?
Yes, I do. Thank you. Okay, so for conducting initial reviews, this is the time and place schedule for the board's initial review. There are 5 cases on the board's agenda to consider today. The matters will be heard by the board pursuant of authority under ARS 32-2045. For everyone's benefit, I'll provide a brief summary of how the board conducts initial reviews. The summary applies to all the cases that we are to hear today, and I won't repeat it for each one. I'll first begin with introductions. My name is Dr. King. I'm the board chair. Other board members, do you mind introducing yourselves again?
Karen Bustillo, vice president.
Giovanni Leone, secretary.
Mark Cornwall, professional member.
Joshua Greer, public member.
Joshua Barton, public member.
Great, thank you. For those participating in initial reviews, please be aware that we have read all of the materials submitted. If at any time it's necessary to refer to a patient, please make sure that you only refer to them as initials only. In each case, the board will first hear a brief summary from the investigative report from our staff. When our staff is done, the board will ask the complainant, if present, if they wish to address the board. The board will ask the professional if they wish to address the board. In order to give everyone the same opportunity to address the board, we ask that those speaking not take time to repeat information that the board has already reviewed and received. You'll be given the same amount of time to address the board that it took to present the investigative report for around 5 minutes or so. Please keep in mind that this is not the time or place for the complainant or professional to address each other. The board has a civil policy that prohibits the use of any type of disruptive conduct. Those violating the policy after being given the opportunity to modify their behavior will be removed from the meeting. Once the board concludes its discussion with the parties, it will move into deliberations. While the parties are free to stay and listen to deliberations, we ask that you respect the fact that we are now discussing the case among ourselves and request that you not interrupt the process. The board's options include, but are not limited to, dismissing the complaint, taking non-disciplinary action such as issuing an advisory letter or order to continue education, offering a professional consent agreement, requesting the professional participate in an informal hearing, or remanding the matter to a formal hearing. Before we call the first case, I want to advise everyone that the initial reviews are audio recorded. Accordingly, it's important that everyone speak loudly and clearly, so, and only one person at a time. And lastly, as a board, this is not an informal hearing. If you have questions that will help you better understand the case and to take action to potentially resolve this case through dismissal, non-disciplinary, or consent agreement, please feel free to ask them. However, if there are a number of substance questions that we need to ask or additional investigative information, it may be more appropriate to move the case to an informal hearing.
Okay. So I need to recuse myself from case 2121, so I will mute and go off video.
Okay. Thanks, Karen.
Would you like me to go ahead and proceed with the summary?
Yes, Cindy, can you give us a summary of case 2121? Well, I want to make sure, is Ms. Orr present?
Yes.
Okay, good. And is Mr. P present?
No, we received word this morning that he would not be attending this meeting.
Okay, thank you. All right, Mindy, please go ahead.
Good morning, members of the board. Complaint 2021 was opened after a complaint was filed by a coworker, Mr. Pronti. Mr. Pronti alleged that Ms. Ord allowed a physical therapist assistant to initiate patient treatments before Ms. Orr had evaluated the patient. She practiced in an unsafe manner when treating a patient following a cardiac pacemaker placement, and she was unprofessional in her communication with the complainant. Additional investigation revealed that Ms. Orr's unprofessional conduct was not isolated to the complainant alone, and according to her immediate supervisor, negatively affected patient care. Ms. Orr requested and received a copy of the investigative report, and she has provided a response, which is included as Exhibit 8. One of the main issues in this investigation is for you to determine if the findings related to her behavior towards colleagues is exclusively the domain of employment-based correction, or if it rises to the level of ethical violations in our Practice Act. And finally, the clinical issue in this investigation is that Ms. Orr delegated care to a physical therapist assistant before she had evaluated patients. This case is for your review.
Thanks, Mindy. Ms. Orr, would you like to make an opening statement?
I would just like to say that I have no excuses for my behavior, that I'm truly regretful for my actions and each individual's experience with me as detailed in this report. I want the board to know that in reading this report, I am humbled and distressed that my behavior was experienced in such an impactful way by others around me and on my team. I feel like these are an isolated set of events to an unhealthy work environment that I was in an organizational culture that did not foster teamwork or team dynamics. Despite this, I understand and acknowledge my part in the concerns brought to my attention and take this investigation very seriously.
Thank you. Would you be willing to answer questions from the board?
Yes.
If they have any questions for you.
Clean election gives you straightforward, non-partisan facts that AZ Clean Elections does.
I'm not sure who maybe has their television on, but if you don't mind muting, that would be really helpful. Thank you. Members of the board, do you have any questions for Ms. Orr?
This is Mark Cornwall. And I'm just curious, how long have you been licensed to practice in Arizona?
I was licensed for 15 years in Canada, and I got my license in Arizona in January of 2020.
So, okay, so just over 2 years. So
yeah.
I'm assuming that when you became licensed, you took and passed the jurisprudence exam for Arizona?
Yes.
So how come you didn't understand the rules about supervision of physical therapist assistants?
I think this was kind of a big miscommunication because there were a few people that were not, that I did not see prior, but I did see some of them were in the ACU recovery area and asked them if they moved their leg, if they were okay with the PTA exercises with them. The surgeon was okay with it. And so my understanding was that it was okay because she wasn't getting them bed. She wasn't like assessing their mobility, their gait. She was just going through routine home exercises with them. So again, it oversight on my part that I didn't understand a full evaluation had to entail me actually getting them up, moving them, and then having her do the exercises.
But an evaluation would be required before you assigned it to another support personnel.
Right.
So
yes.
And like I said,
it was a
now
verbal.
You're telling me you did not do an evaluation?
Sorry, it was a verbal evaluation and watching them move their leg. And then I had the PTA do their exercises and then I got them out of bed. So it wasn't a full evaluation. Getting them out of bed, standing them up, weight bearing, that kind of evaluation.
Do you consider that best practice?
Absolutely not.
So why did you do it?
It just flowed with the caseload on those days that there were the OR patients. They were isolated. It was a handful of times that it happened. It was brought to my attention that I had to get them and mobilize them before she could do the exercises, and the action was corrected. It was an oversight on my part.
Thank you.
Ms. Orr, is a verbal evaluation something that's allowed in your practice in Canada for 15 years?
I didn't really work with PTAs a lot in Canada because I worked in an ICU environment. And I did, patients were mobile PTAs with quite frequently without my being there or without my evaluation.
So,
like I said, it's an oversight on my part that I didn't realize I had to get them out of bed, stand them, weight bear them, walk them before she could do the exercises. They switched from having the patient stay overnight to having them discharged the same day. It happened a handful of times. And it was just in timing with the surgeries and recovery and movement of patients that this occurred. And again, it's an oversight on my part, and I apologize.
This is Mark Cornwall again. Did you charge the patient for an evaluation?
After I saw all patients after the exercises were done and get them up, and yes, for an evaluation in that respect.
So they were charged for the exercise that the PTA did?
The PTA charged for the exercises. And I charged for the evaluation.
But since an evaluation was required before the PTA could treat, That doesn't seem right to charge the patient for something that shouldn't have been done to begin with.
Sorry, I don't understand. The PTA charged for doing the home exercises, and then I charged for doing the evaluation and the gait.
Yeah, but you allowed the PTA to do those exercises without an evaluation.
I understand that.
So that just doesn't sound right from the patient's point of view. You right. charged them for something that should not have been done.
I understand that, and the whole charging system is something new to me coming to America, so I'm still a little foreign with who can charge what and when. I didn't realize that there was an order that I couldn't charge for an evaluation and gait after she had seen them for exercises. Again, it's an oversight on my part.
And it sounds like maybe a supervised clinical practice period might have been more appropriate.
I did have one for 500 hours. But at that time, I did. But at that time, the surgeries were overnight. And so it was a different setup. And then COVID hit and everything changed. And patients were recovered in the recovery unit, not on the ward as they had been before. And like I said, I often popped down there to see the patients. And like I said, I checked on them to see that they could move their leg. They weren't in pain. The nurse was present, and then I would send the PTA in to do the exercises to warm them up, so to speak, before I got them up out of bed.
Did you supervise PTAs in your, or were there, did you work with PTAs in your supervised clinical practice? In those 500 hours?
Briefly, but like I said, kind of COVID and stuff. The time I spent at Mount Vista, I did not oversee any PTAs. They had their own case. At Tempe, it was very small, and we went down to basically just the two of us, and she would come in on random days that there was a little bit heavier caseload because she wanted to work, so I didn't have a lot of PTA supervision time. And like I said, this incident occurred after COVID hit and the surgery option changed to overnight, not overnight, but to same day discharge.
As Kelly King, I have a couple other questions for you. So before you received the investigative report with some of the comments that people spoke about that you had made, were you aware at all of your of how you were perceived by the people you were working with and your communication style?
Absolutely. Yes, I received counseling reports from my director that I was how I was being perceived. I understand that people thought I was quite negative, that it was a can't situation when and as far as the patient care suffering, that he's a 300-pound man and he felt appropriate pivoting lift patients, what I would consider lift patients, into the chair, and then I was getting in trouble for not getting them back or not assisting with getting them back. When I explained, I didn't feel comfortable that he had gotten this patient up, being much stronger and larger man, that he could get these patients up, and I didn't feel comfortable putting them back. So then nurses were like, well, she doesn't want to do it. And I explained to them, I don't feel comfortable that this patient is a lift. There was a CDA and a bed patient that they're referring to. In my practice, we use a lot of lifts in the ICU. And so, again, I didn't feel safe from body mechanics perspective or with the nurses to transfer these patients back to bed. And so they were very negative about it, because I would say, no, I don't feel comfortable. Also, I was then instructed near the end of my employment in rounds to ask the doctors doing rounds if this patient needs a PT consult, which I felt wasn't my place to be asking, does this person need a consult? Does this person need a consult? Because that's what the doctors are there to determine and make that order if they feel they need a consult. So when I expressed concern regarding this, and it was, again, I was labeled as negative, don't want to do it, can't do it, in that respect.
Some of the statements I read indicated conversations at the nurses' station and even not in clinical practice. So it was
Yeah.
Like there was quite a bit even outside of a patient's
room. So I thought Mr. Pronti and I were friends. We had attended social gatherings outside of work a few times. And so those comments were made in joking around. And I thought he was my friend. And it wasn't, I mistook the culture that I had back home and the respect that you could joke around without penalty. And that's my own fault for not. Sorry, this is very distressing to me. That's not who I am. That's not how I behave. I think it was a specific isolated event at this hospital. It wasn't the level that I was used to as far as how hospitals run. I was used to a very intelligent, a high-level critical care, knowledgeable, and I didn't feel when I asked questions about patients that I was being respected. As far as asking questions, I was told I'm stepping outside my boundaries because I'm advocating for patients, and I've never had that issue at a previous hospital. I've never had any issues at my previous hospital. I've never had any issues at my current hospital. It was an isolated event between Mr. Pronti and I not getting along, me trying to make jokes here and there with him and him feeling offended yet not telling me that these jokes bothered him, but instead writing up a complaint to you.
Are there any other questions, Ms. Orr?
Sorry, I just wanted to say, as indicated in the letters of support that I've gotten, it shows that I have good relations with my patients, with my colleagues, and that these are some isolated events that occurred. Having moved to a new country, trying to learn a new system with America, with the charges, with how things work there, I was just overwhelmed. I became frustrated and I was angry and my mental health was deteriorating with the whole stress of COVID and not having any family or friend support, being able to support me moving down here by myself. And I became overwhelmed and I let that get the best of me and it made me short-tempered and that's not who I am.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Are there any other questions for her? Okay. So at this time, we'll conclude the interview and the board will go into deliberations and discussion. Board members, what are your thoughts? We have a few allegations to walk through. So ARS 322044, engaging in substandard care by a physical therapist. It looks like in the investigative report, it looks like there's not a lot of support for this finding. So unless you see it otherwise.
I'd be in agreement that one is unsupported. I mean, it seems like, you know, she used her clinical reasoning to make a determination and it seems like it's within the standard of practice.
As far as your patient care goes. Yeah. ARS 322044, failing to supervise assistive personnel.
This one is of concern. You know, she read the Practice Act. She took an exam on the Practice Act. She did a supervised clinical practice period. And then she seems to be, was confused about how supervision worked and how billing was done. I think this one could be remedied by, you know, continuing education in the area of documentation and supervision.
Yeah, I'd be in agreement with that as well. I struggled a little bit with this, you know, just because I feel like it is a very important thing to be mindful of. But it seems like, you know, she's taken the information. She understands that it was wrong. She's made the changes in her practice, so I I don't necessarily see a reason to go for like anything disciplinary in regard to this. I think continuing education would likely help with that.
Okay. Any other thoughts on that allegation?
I would concur in that regard. I think, I think other things we ought to consider is, the respondent here has been very open about the fact that that mistake was made and that she's made those changes. I appreciate that. And I think that's a consideration as well. Again, it does seem to me like as soon as she recognized the mistake, she very clearly has fixed the problem, from her testimony here today. And I think that warrants, probably some additional continuing education to ensure that the mistakes that were made are not repeated. But I don't know that it rises to the level of requiring discipline to correct it, given the fact that she's already making moves to do so in her own life.
And then the third allegation is failing to adhere to recognized standards of ethics as a physical therapy profession. I think this one is it's a discussion point of where do HR issues and practice issues, how much do they cross and how separate are they? I mean, as I was reading and listening to some of the things, it's disturbing that, someone in our profession would be speaking to a colleague or even a patient with some of the things that we heard. But it was addressed in her performance reviews, and ultimately she chose not to stay there. So are there any other thoughts about ethics and ethical requirements for respecting the rights, knowledge, and skills of the colleagues?
I would relate this, back to, what we're talking about with the continuing education. She has an understanding. It sounds like that comments that were made were inappropriate. I definitely think that this does fall under our standards of ethics, and it's something mm-hmm. that needs to be accounted for. But I also believe it's something that can likely be, followed up with some continuing education. I don't think it necessarily needs to go into any disciplinary action.
Okay.
So I'm inclined to agree. I am very hesitant to involve us in these kinds of internecine conflicts. I agree there are some concerning things in the allegations. It seems very clear to me from the allegations and from the testimony here today that there's obviously some very significant professional conflict. But it also seems pretty clear to me that their HR department has dealt with it and mm-hmm. That there has been a consequence. And, I am very torn because I see our practice act and we have ethics requirements on this, but it also seems clear to me that, there's already been a consequence. There's already been changes in behavior. And frankly, this kind of, he said, she said conflict where we're trying to judge the intent of somebody and, the way that slings were put on the ground and that kind of thing. It does concern me when we get into those kinds of levels of discussion. And my inclination would be to say, if HR has already done the investigation, they were proximate to the time, and they had the opportunity to kind of address this, I'm inclined to leave it there or maybe provide some additional counseling.
Okay, thank you.
I generally agree with Mr. Barton. Here it's not a he said, she said. It's a he said, he said, he said, she said. And so I don't know if there's anything to do because I agree that it has been resolved, but I think the message has been conveyed that this kind of conduct is inappropriate.
Yeah.
Yeah. I agree with that as well. Mm-hmm. But I just go back to the thought of it sounds like Ms. Orr understands that what she said was wrong. That these situations, were not within her true character. So I tend to take a lot of that, seriously as well. And that's why I think the continuing education you know, will hopefully help to, you know, give some good information on how to manage those situations, you know, in the long run. You know, but I would think just based off what, you know, we're hearing from her, I mean, it really doesn't even sound like a he said, she said situation. She's admitting to, you know, everything that was, you know, put into the complaint about her and saying, yes, that did occur.
Thank you. So it sounds like that we're, the summary of the discussion really is a non-disciplinary action to require some CEUs in the areas that we think she would potentially benefit from as a practitioner. I heard ethics, potentially professional communication, conflict resolution, and so do we have a motion?
I would move to, do we say I move to approve or?
You would move to offer Ms. Orr an advisory letter or something?
I would move to offer Ms. Orr the task of continuing education in the realm of documentation and supervision, as well as ethics.
And
okay.
Dr. King, members of the board, I'm sorry for interrupting, but Mr. Leone, if what I'm hearing is what you'd like to do is offer her a consent agreement for a non-disciplinary order for continuing education in the areas that you just articulated?
Yes. Well said.
And could you quantify it? And I may have missed this, but the number of hours and the time frame in which to complete them?
Sure. I believe what we typically do with continuing education is usually 6 hours, correct? The documentation and supervision course that we talk about?
Correct. Yeah.
So I would say 6 hours in documentation and supervision and maybe another 3 hours in ethics. I don't know if we already have an ethics course through the APTA or, you know, anything like that that we typically route people to.
It's up to the board, to the licensee to find and their own CEUs and submit them to the board for approval.
Okay.
Yeah. And then we talked a little bit about some sort of CEU or professional development around professional communication and conflict resolution.
Yeah, and I'd be agreeable to that as well if we wanted to do like another 3 hours within that topic.
Okay.
I would prefer to kind of blend the ethics and the communication together. I'm afraid that a typical ethics course is not going to address that and not the core issue here. It might include, you know, fraudulent billing and, you know, things like that. And, mm-hmm. I think what she needs is more of just how do you handle conflict and so
resolution.
There's courses out there on de-escalation strategies, conflict mm-hmm. resolution strategies. Within the realm of communication and interpersonal relationships, I think in my personal opinion, she would need to learn how to de-escalate a situation.
So, Giovanni, if you're willing, we haven't even got a second yet, but, you know, to change that from an ethics to something along the line of conflict resolution or de-escalation like Mindy was talking.
And, I'm totally open to that. So, I'll change it to offer a consent agreement for non-disciplinary action for 6 continuing education hours in documentation and supervision, as well as an additional 6 in the topic of conflict resolution, de-escalation strategies. And I would even throw in there if it's something within the same realm, like cultural, what's the word I'm
diversity.
Looking for? Diversity. Yeah, something along those lines.
Excellent.
Sensitivity, you know, cultural sensitivity.
Okay. Do we have a second?
I'll second it.
Mr. Hare, this may be a question for you. Instead of offering a consent agreement, can't we just order this?
Dr. King, Mr. Greer, yes, the board can. And what I would propose is if maybe an amendment to the motion, if not signed, for the board just to issue the order. The nice thing about the consent agreement is it just brings conclusion to it. It won't be subject to any motions for rehearing or review or further, appellate actions. I recognize, though, that it is a non-disciplinary order for CE.
Mr. Harris, is there a difference as far as the severity between a consent agreement, a non-disciplinary consent agreement, and just an order from us?
A non-disciplinary order, no. Okay. It just brings finality to it.
I can add that into my motion as well to, barring, signing of the consent agreement, that it would turn into a direct order for continuing education.
Non-disciplinary.
Yeah, Johnny, I'm just trying to indicate what happens if she doesn't sign it. So.
Thank you. Does the second agree with the amendment?
Yes.
Thank you. If there's no further discussion, Judy, do you mind restating the motion and we'll take a vote?
So for a point of clarity, the conflict resolution and de-escalation strategies, the cultural sensitivity, was that included with the conflict resolution and de-escalation strategies for a total?
Yes.
And what was the number of hours on that?
6 hours.
6 hours on that, and we removed the ethics. Okay.
And sorry, Judy. One other point of clarity, if we can, Giovanni, how long does she have to complete these?
I think we usually do 12 months, right?
And they can be done online?
And they can be done online, yes.
Thank you.
And with early termination possible?
I'd be in agreement with that.
This is not probationary, so they don't have to come back. They just have to complete it and supply us documentation.
Once it's done, it's done. Mm-hmm.
All right.
Great.
And we have to specify it won't go towards renewal.
Right. And can be taken online?
And can be taken online, yes.
Okay. Okay. Are we ready for a vote?
Yeah.
Okay. It's been moved and seconded to offer Ms. Orr a non-disciplinary consent agenda for non-disciplinary consent agreement for continuing education, which shall be pre-approved, may be completed online, and does not count towards renewal requirements. They shall be completed within 12 months in the areas of documentation and supervision for a minimum of 6 hours. Conflict resolution, de-escalation strategies, and cultural sensitivity for a minimum of 6 hours. And the motion, if the consent agreement is not signed, the board will issue it as an order. Dr. King?
Yes.
Dr. Bustillo?
She
recused. My apologies. Mr. Leone?
Yes.
Dr. Cornwell?
Yes.
Mr. Greer?
Yes.
Mr. Barton?
Yes.
Motion passes. Ms. Orskoff will be in contact with you.
Thank you.
Dr. King?
Yes, ma'am.
I might make a request that as we look at the timing and the cases that we might be able to review before that 9:30 hearing, I'm wondering if it's possible to move forward for 22-20 John Barnes PT. I know that they're on the line.
Yes. Yep. If you feel like we can get through that. Yep. In 15 minutes, that's perfect.
I believe we can.
Okay. All right. So, board members, we will be moving then to, let's see, agenda item 9. E, case 2220, John Barnes PT. And you said they are on the line, Mindy. So, Mindy, do you want to give us an overview?
Yes. In this case, a patient, MK, alleged in her complaint that she was not fully informed on the treatment risks of myofascial release, and the treatment she received at Therapy on the Rocks caused psychological and physical repercussions. Once the medical records, the complaint was opened, and once the medical records and written response were received, it was determined that Mr. Barnes, physical therapist who owns Therapy on the Rocks, was not directly involved in the care of patient MK, and he states in his written response that he had never met her. The patient's record revealed, however, that three other PTs did treat the patient over four visits at Therapy on the Rocks. The medical records do not appear to meet the regulatory requirements for documentation, but a complete record review was deferred at this time. At minimum, there was no evidence the patient was provided the opportunity for informed consent for treatment as described in R-424-301 lawful practice. Mr. Maggio, who is the clinic director for Therapy on the Rocks, provided a written statement, which was received on last Thursday, July 21st, and was included in your board review materials. The board is requested to determine if the case against Mr. Barnes should proceed, and in addition, the board is requested to determine if the complaints on the other physical therapist should be opened as identified in the care of patient MK. The patient has advised me that she was on the call originally but has dropped off since that time.
Thank you, Mindy. So is Mr. Barnes on the call?
No, Mr. Barnes had a conflict today, so he asked me to be here.
Okay.
And his attorney, Ms. Rodden, is present.
Yes, I am present also.
So Robert Maggio and counsel.
Yeah, Judith Rodden.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Yes. So first question is based on the investigative report. Do you have any questions, board, for... Or Mr. Maggio, would you like to make an opening statement, and or Ms. Roden for representing Mr. Barnes?
Dr. King, if I may, I just move to dismiss this case as against Mr. Barnes. He is not the treating PT. I don't think we have any basis to continue investigating Mr. Barnes in this action.
I second it.
Okay. Any discussion?
I agree with the dismissal.
Yeah. I agree as well.
Great. Thank you. All right. So then, Judy, do you want to call the vote?
It's been moved and seconded to dismiss case 2220, John Barnes, PT. Dr. King?
Yes.
Dr. Bastille?
Yes.
Mr. Leone?
Yes.
Dr. Cornwall?
Yes.
Mr. Greer?
Yes.
Mr. Barton?
Yes.
Motion passes.
Mr. Harris, I don't know if we're agendized to open a new complaint against some of these record-keeping issues. How would we best proceed if we wanted to do that? Is that just something that staff looks at and makes the decision?
Mr. Greer, members of the board, I do think that with respect to just opening up a complaint based upon the allegations set forth in the investigative report, I do think you can do that, and then at the appropriate time, they'll get notice, it'll be investigated, and it'll come back to you as an initial review.
Is that done via motion, or is that just a simple instruction?
If you don't mind doing a motion.
Okay. I'd move to open up a complaint against the therapist identified in the care of patient MK on the basis identified in the investigation of Mr. Barnes.
And I think in the investigative report, they were identified as Robert Maggio, PT, Kathy Kessler, PT, and Diana Lamont, PT.
Thank you.
And I second your motion. Is there any discussion?
Dr. King, may I make a comment? This is Mr. Barnes' attorney. May I make a comment to the board?
Mr. Barnes has been dismissed.
Yeah, not at this time. Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah. Thank you. If there's no further discussion, we can call the vote.
Excuse me, may I make a comment?
Not at this time, Mr. Maggio.
Thank you. You'll have an opportunity to speak with the investigator, and we'll know more from you at that point. But right now we're voting on a motion. Thank you.
Thank you.
Judy, if you're okay, let's go ahead and call the vote.
It has been moved and seconded to open complaints against the individuals noted in the investigative report. In the investigative report of John Barnes. Dr. King?
Yes.
Dr. Bastia?
Yes.
Mr. Leone?
Yes.
Dr. Cornwall?
Yes.
Mr. Greer?
Yes.
Mr. Barton?
Yes.
That motion passes.
Thank you. Mindy, do you think we have time to be able to review 2131, Ashley Ramirez?
2132?
Yep.
Yes, I do. Yes, I do.
Okay. Thanks, Josh. All right. So, board members, let's move to agenda item 9C, 2132, Ashley Ramirez. Is Ms. Ramirez on the call?
I did not get notice that she would be able to attend.
Okay. Thank you. Okay, so Mindy, you want to give us an update, please?
Yes. The board opened complaint 2132 after the review of Ms. Ramirez's compliance with board order 1930. The board determined at its October 2021 meeting that Ms. Ramirez had not complied fully with requirements set forth. The board voted to close complaint 1930 and open complaint 2132 for failure to comply with the record-keeping requirements of a physical therapist. A subsequent three record chart review was completed. The board staff enlisted the assistance of Peg Hiller, physical therapist, to complete the review, which is identified in your review materials as Exhibit 2. I reviewed Ms. Hiller's findings and agreed with them. And it should be noted that Ms. Ramirez had made improvements in her documentation and is meeting most all, if not all, regulatory requirements for record keeping. This case is for your review.
Okay, so help me, what are our actions then? What is it that?
So it was an initial review.
She's met
an initial review.
Okay.
You can dismiss.
Okay.
You can do a letter of advisement. You can do all of the options that you have available to you in a normal initial review.
Thank you.
This one's a little unusual. A lot of times historically you've just done an extension to the probation to allow the chart review to be done. But her probation had expired.
Okay.
So I believe the board in its thinking was, well, we need to open a new complaint. And that's how we kind of got to this point.
Her probation expired. We opened another complaint, but she's met all of the requirements of the prior probation.
Well, it was a specific allegation for failure to comply with the record keeping requirements. So you were pretty focused when you opened the complaint.
Okay.
And so the focus was only on the chart review, which was subsequently completed.
And that's been completed. Okay.
Yes. And Ms. Hiller did that. I reviewed it. It meets the standard.
I make a motion that we dismiss.
Second.
Is there any discussion?
Ms. Richardson, only I have one question for you, if you wouldn't mind. The only thing that I wondered about is just because of the wording. Did the chart review show substantial compliance or did it show improvement leading to substantial compliance?
Both.
Okay.
Both. Yeah, I did a chart review in January, which she failed. And then her probation ran out. So I presented it to the board and we wanted another chart review to see that she had made improvements.
Okay. And the new chart review
has made improvements and she is meeting requirements, in my opinion.
Got
and in Ms. Miller's opinion.
Okay, understood.
Are there any other questions? Okay. Then Judy, do you want to call the vote?
It's been moved and seconded to dismiss case 2132, Ashley Ramirez, PT. Dr. King?
Yes.
Dr. Bustillo?
Yes.
Mr. Leone?
Yes.
Dr. Cornwell?
Yes.
Mr. Greer?
Yes.
Mr. Barton?
Yes.
Motion passes.
Okay. It looks like on my clock it's 9:30.
It is.
Straight up.
Dr. King, I would suggest we stop the recording and restart mm-hmm. it.
Thank you.
Can we take a short break at this point yep. as well as while we stop the recording?
That's fine. 5 minute break.
5 minutes.
20.
Okay. We will regroup at 9:35. The recording is being stopped now.